Alan, can you hear us all right?
Gotcha. Got me.
All right. We are now joined by Alan Gustafson today, the race-winning crew chief for the number 9 Kappa Auto Parts Chevrolet. Alan, just talk to us about what you had to do to get that into victory lane today.
Yeah, just, you know, obviously the preparation of the shop is a big deal, and I appreciate everybody at HMS Racing doing a great job and getting the car ready in great position to go and try to win the race. So for us, it was about executing, putting ourselves in position, and yeah, the car was great off the truck, and Chase is a phenomenal road racer and adapted really quickly, and it really went well for us today. Super happy about it.
Okay, we'll go to questions from the media now. Jim Utter, go ahead and kick it off.
Congrats, Alan. Chase has 8 career wins now, 4 of them on road courses, 2 at Watkins Glen and 2 unique tracks at the Roval, and then this one, which was new to just to everybody, basically. You mentioned him as a road racer. What have you discovered in the races working with him that seems to make him to adapt so well in these races?
He's really good. I mean, he's just a very talented driver, and you know, with any good driver, they have the ability to slow things down, and you know, when you're running a new track or running at the speeds they run, they can slow it down to where it's slow, and they can make the right decisions and adjustments, and he does a fabulous job of that. And we knew really from the first time I worked with him at a road course, I knew he was really good and just needed some experience and needed to understand the cars. And I've mentioned this before, we went to a Watkins Glen test his rookie year, and we were able to find some things that he really liked in the cars. And ever since, we've been able to improve on that. But yeah, he's a tremendous talent. I think he's a world-class, you know, race car driver, certainly a world-class road racer. Just did an amazing job. It's a daunting task, I'm sure, to come here and not know anything about the, you know, driving the track. You can drive the simulators all you want, but you still, to understand, you know, this tire and the grip it's going to have on this surface when it's 100 degrees outside and traffic's around you and all the above is a very difficult thing to do. So he did a great job, and a lot of kudos to him.
I wondered if you could just compare a little bit, if you remember, the preparation that you did going into the first race at the Roval compared to what you had to do going into this race.
Well, the first Roval race, you know, we had a test, and I know there was, I can't remember the exact sequence, but there was a few tests leading up to it, and there were, you know, split test days, and I know the first time we were there, it was us in the 48, and they were changing configurations and, you know, bus stops and chicanes, and you know, just a lot of time at the Roval. So I think we were much more ready for the Roval and prepared. But really, you know, all I'm going to say all, that's not true, but a lot of that effort was able to be used, you know, for here, right? And we could use a lot of that information and apply a lot of that to this place. They're not, you know, distinctly different. They are different for sure, more the grip and the track than I think anything. But yeah, so the Roval, there was tons of testing and tons of build up to it. You know, we knew everything from the gearing to the braking, you know, to the handling on the car. And here, you're making some pretty big assumptions on you know, getting that all perfect.
Thank you very much.
Sure, thank you.
Okay, next up, let's go to Luis Torres. Go ahead, Luis.
Yeah, like, congrats on the win. How does it feel to get the win at Daytona, considering it's been a track that's kind of eluded you from a points-paying race perspective? It's just describe how much of determination he has on those road courses, which has proven to be very successful to you guys as of late.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, winning here at Daytona is a big deal. I think it's a big deal for everybody. It's certainly a really big deal for me. I've been trying to do it for a long time and have been really, really close. And, you know, the super speedways are just, there's just so much randomness or circumstantial things that go into that. It's tough, and you know, we haven't been able to put all that together correctly. We've been really close, but haven't been able to do it. So it's nice to come here and win at the road course. And you know, I've come here since I was and watched races on this road course since I was probably 4 years old. So this is really where I started my racing career, was more road racing than it was stock car racing. So it's cool for me. And yeah, you know, again, his abilities, amazing. And I think, you know, his record speaks for itself. He's the best guy in the series when we go and turn left and right. So he does an incredible job, and he's just really good at it, and he's phenomenal. So it's nice to be able to come to a track and have the team support, and then have the best driver on the grid, you know, climbing in your cars. So that's an exciting thing.
Thank you, and best of luck on the Dover doubleheader.
Thank you.
Okay, next up we'll go to Mark Garrow. Go ahead, Mark.
Congratulations, Alan, on a big win. You win early, and it takes pressure off. You're in the playoff. Does late season wins help kind of build momentum for the playoffs, and how important are wins later in the regular season heading into the playoff?
Yeah, they're all important. I mean, I think, you know, you alluded to some of the, you know, particular things. You know, when you win early, it's, you know, you slot yourself in, obviously, and there's some value to that. And then when you win late, then there's some value to that momentum. But you know, we've all seen these races. We know that you're going to have to win and win often to be the champion. It's not going to be some situation where you're going to run, you know, 5th to 10th and make it. You're going to have to go and win and compete with the 11 and the 4 and those guys on a regular basis and win. So it's important for us to do that, and we've kind of our form slipped, obviously, the last couple months, and it's important for us to get our form back. And you know, this is obviously a step in the right direction. It's a very specific discipline of racing, but there's still a road course left. So yeah, it's good. And anytime you win's good. The bonus points are good. The momentum's good. The morale's good. I mean, I've never found an ill effect of winning in my career.
And Alan, you mentioned 11, the four, they're at their top of their games right now. Do you feel you're half a step behind those guys? Early in the season, you seem to have as much speed as they did. And now maybe, or do you feel like it's just a matter of putting it together? You still have the speed, still have what it takes to run with those guys.
No, you know, the beginning of the year, I thought we were the best car for a significant part of the season. And, you know, I mean, that could be my rose colored glasses, but I certainly feel like we were in contention to win about every week. And we've had some issues and slips since then. And those guys have got the upper hand on us, and we don't have the pace to match them right now. And we can't consistently, you know, compete to win on all different configurations of tracks. I mean, there's certainly specific tracks that we're really still really good at. I mean, obviously Bristol and road courses, and I think you know, we'll have our chances. But I do feel like we've got to find some pace and some speed to match those guys when it comes to you know, the Texases and Kansases and racetracks along those lines. So we're working hard. I promise you, there's nobody in the garage working as hard as Hendrick Motorsports is and the 9 team is to try to reel that back in. But those guys have got an upper hand on us, and I'm sure they did it by grinding hard and working hard. And kudos to them for doing it. But we gotta find some.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we'll go to Jeff from Empire Sports. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Alan, congratulations on the win. Since I'm based in the New York metropolitan area, I think I just have to ask, how disappointed were you guys that you couldn't come to Watkins Glen this season? And Chase did say it was good to replace one road course with another, but how disappointing is it that you guys can't make the annual trip to Schuyler County?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I love Watkins Glen. I love the area. It's gorgeous country, you know. It's in August. It's so good. It's so nice. It's, you know, still have reasonably cool nights, and it's just lush and green and beautiful. So I love the area. I love going there. I love the track. It's a wicked road course. It's so fast, and unique, and yeah, it's great. And I missed it, and I miss, you know, I really love the dedicated road course circuits like that, that are, you know, you're like in the forest, you're out there kind of, you know, it's not a big concrete jungle. It's, you know, you kind of race through the trees, and you know, you're in a, I don't know how to describe it. It just reminds me more of, you know, really truly dedicated road courses that I grew up on. So I love that part of it, but if we're going to not be able to race there, this is a great place to come and race. And I think everybody was excited to get on this track, and it's so prestigious, and so many good people have raced here and won, so many legends of the sport. So, you know, it's bittersweet. I would love to have been to Watkins Glen. I would have probably slept a lot better last night if we were going to Watkins Glen. But it was also a great challenge to come here, and you know, Daytona's, it's my home. It's, you know, really what got me started in the sport. So any chance to come here and race is great, and certainly to win.
Awesome. Glad it panned out well. Congratulations, Alan. Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Next up, we'll go to Zach Sterlino. Go ahead, Zach.
Alec, congrats on this. Two questions for you. The first one, you noted earlier that your career started in road racing. Do you think that has helped you as a crew chief set up cars for Chase especially?
Yeah, I don't think it hurts. Yeah, I've always had a love for it, and you know, my best friends growing up still road race. I mean, they have a shop here and have raced at the highest level in 24 hours and been very successful in one. And yeah, a lot of my roots are there, and it's always been, it's something I've really enjoyed and loved. And anytime you enjoy something, I mean, it's a huge benefit. You know, the cars we raced back then don't have anything to do with what we race now, but I think just embracing it and enjoying it and seeing the, you know, positive side of it and all that helps. And I've always enjoyed road racing and enjoyed the challenge, and you know, I think that certainly that helps when it comes to having to go do it and execute it.
You seemingly go from one strong suit to another here. Dover has historically been a great place for you and Chase. How significant will it be for you guys to go in there and get good runs on a doubleheader weekend, and how much does a win today help start the week on a positive note?
Yeah, it helps for sure. And you're right. Dover's another really strong track for us. Statistically, it's, you know, certainly got to be one of the best that we run at. And I'm looking forward to getting there. It's a lot of fun too. It's certainly a different challenge and very unique. Yeah, I mean, we need to be able to go and win there. You know, we need to be able to contend to win. It's that time of year. You know, there's just no, we've got to be able to go everywhere and contend to win. And certainly we're going to go to Dover and do everything we can to put ourselves in position to win. And I'm looking forward to going there and seeing what we've got. And like I said, we're working hard to improve our oval track stuff. And, you know, certainly that's a little different configuration with the aero package, but we're pushing hard and we're excited to go, and my expectation is, you know, we want to be able to go there and win.
Thanks very much. Congrats again.
Thank you.
Okay, next we'll go to Stephen Conley. Go ahead, Stephen.
Alan, kind of following up on Zach's question in regards to heading to Dover, this will be the third doubleheader that we've had this season for a weekend. Is Dover going to be the biggest challenge as far as doubleheaders? And second part of that, is there a little bit of chip on your guys' shoulders knowing that the last race you ran there, you only completed 8 laps?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you've always got to have kind of a chip on your shoulder. You've got to find some way to motivate yourself and keep pushing yourself. And so, yeah, we're ready to go. And Dover is going to be the most difficult doubleheader on the equipment for sure. to run the cars there. That's a very violent track. I don't think that, you know, TV doesn't do it justice, or watching the race doesn't do it justice. It's the loading and the bumps into three and the violence the car takes, all the components on the car. I mean, they are just getting punished lap after lap after lap after lap. So this is going to be the most difficult doubleheader as far as equipment goes, for sure. And yeah, the doubleheaders they're not easy. It's tight schedules and a lot of long hours, and you know, I guess if you're in the four, Rodney's place, it looked pretty easy last weekend, but it wasn't easy for us, for sure.
And how have your guys handled those doubleheaders?
It's just a lot of hard work. You know, you got to prep the cars, and you know, you've got to have a good game plan on what you're going to switch out and how you're going to switch it out. And you know, it's from the time the race is over to the time the garage is closed to the time we put the car on the grid, it's nonstop. It's just full gas. I mean, there's very few people there to support it. And you know, you're trying to debrief, you're trying to get a game plan, and it's a lot of work.
Thanks, Alan.
Yep. Thank you.
And we'll take our final question from Bozzy. Go ahead, Bozzy.
Hello, Alan. Considering your previous sports car experience and the next-gen car that's coming up with a lot of sports car elements, with aluminum uprights, you know, individual things like individual tollings and such, do you see the next-gen car being more suited for road courses or possibly street circuits than, say, ovals like traditionally we've seen?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm curious. I think the car is more suited for road course racing and more suited for street course racing, and you know, with the way the underbody is and the aerodynamic setup of the car and it being symmetrical. You know, I worry about it at Dover. I don't think it'll have any issue road racing. I think it'll be, you know, very V8 supercar-esque, in my opinion. You know, but when you go slam that thing around in Dover, that's, you know, aluminum wheels, and the rest of it is where that car is really going to get put to a pretty significant test. Like I was saying earlier, you know, there's nothing like Dover. There's period. That's it. There's no place in the world like that. There's no place that loads like that. There's nothing like that. And it's a test for sure.
Do you see, with the wheels growing bigger, and I'm assuming the rotors are going to grow bigger and possibly, you know, bigger calipers, do you see that helping out on certain courses?
Yeah, I think, you know, the cars will be faster. I mean, if you got better brakes, I think you'll be faster, you know, road racing where you use a lot of brakes and, you know, Martinsville and places like that. But, you know, that we won't use much brake at, you know, the intermediates or you know, high-speed ovals. So probably won't impact that.
And one more, since we're on the topic, as far as the individual links in the rear, and specifically what I've heard of the toe links being on kind of aft position of the wheels, you see that as being a vulnerability, or is that more to be able to save the chassis and reuse it?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I can't say that I've worked with the car enough to make a whole lot of educated opinions about it, so it's tough to say. I mean, I think it's just more in convention with the majority of the rest of the racing industry. So that's really where I think it's gone, and it's you know, that's just, it's much more conventional to really any other race car you'd see on any other circuit.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Yep, no problem.
All right, Alan, thank you again for your time today, and congrats on the win.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it, everybody.